Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All of it. I'm Allison Stewart.
If you have a scar somewhere on your body, it's likely there's a story behind it. Our next guest has several scars, from a self-inflicted encounter with a meat grinder to a traumatic fatal car crash, as well as breast cancer diagnosis. Now, you wouldn't know that if you've seen Ophira Eisenberg do stand-up or when she was the host of Ask Me Another, because Ophira is really funny and good at her job as a comic. In her storytelling mode, though, be it at The Moth or on her podcast, Parenting is No Joke, we get to know more about her as a person. That's the case in her new solo show at Soho Playhouse called Leaving a Mark, a comedy about scars. She tells us about hers. She asks you about yours. Leaving a Mark is playing next weekend, February 9th through 11th, and through the 16th and the 17th of this month. Ophira, welcome.
Hello, Allison.
Listeners, we're going to take a page from Ophira's show. During the show, she asked people in the audience about their scars. So we're going to ask you guys to call in, too. Tell us about any scars you have and the story behind them. Give us a call. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or you can reach out to us on social media at allofitwnyc. We want to hear about your scar stories. So I saw the show over the weekend, Ophira. It's really funny, and we'll get to some of the funny parts, but I have to say, I was really taken with how personal the show is and how some of the conversations about the scars take you back to some really hard times, bad car accident, breast cancer diagnosis. How did you know that you felt ready to talk about these really personal things?
Yeah, I mean, I have talked about the car accident a little bit in different forms. And one of the places that I did do a story about through a certain lens was on The Moth. And it is a hard story for me to tell, but I always find that when I do, I get something a little bit more out of it. Mm-hmm. And also I get a lot of feedback from people that whether they've been through something similar or different, there's different emotional things that meant a lot to them and they felt seen and heard, which is kind of the reason you do for me mm-hmm. all of this, mm-hmm. you know? And so I know it's important. And as I was putting this stuff together, there was so much of me as someone who works in comedy that wanted to gloss over the harder stuff because it would be so much easier. Mm-hmm. It would just be easier. But I think if you're doing a solo show and you're trying to put something out there that is more theatrical and touching these more vulnerable, hard moments, it is kind of your duty as the storyteller, the writer, the performer, to try to go there so the audience isn't left with these questions. Because mm-hmm. I think that would take them out of the piece.
You start the show early in the show talking about growing up in the 70s, as did I, and how it's it's a great time to grow up if you want a scar. Because
it is.
It's
so
a time
crazy
when,
looking
know,
back.
Yeah, seatbelts were suggestion. You know, they had hot coils in the cars as lighters for your cigarette. You could just, you know, stick your finger in there if
Unbelievable.
You
wanted to. Water beds. Do you remember water beds?
Oh, so many ways to get a scar. How did growing up in that time shape you when you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I think we do a lot of this nostalgia right now, and a lot of it we even see in programming and television where there's a lot of 80s nostalgia, 90s, and there's a little bit of 70s. There's a lot of memes and stuff online where people are talking about how they grew up and how ridiculous it is now. But the sentiment of that whole time, you know, no bike helmets, as we say, was a feeling of things being safe. It was. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to think about something deemed so incredibly dangerous. At the time, as a child, mm-hmm. I think we never thought two things about it, nor did our parents. And a lot of people who have scars, playground scars and stuff that I talk to, mm-hmm. They also had what I call 70s parenting. And maybe they had in the 80s or the 90s, where it was kind of like, walk it off. We're not going to the hospital. You're fine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. You're fine. That's how I would, if I had to give a title to the 70s, it was, you're fine, when nobody was fine.
So true. So the first scar you talk about involves a young you and a meat grinder.
Always good. Good word, right? Meat yep. grinder.
How, first of all, how well do you have to know somebody to break out that story before this before the show?
It's so that story is definitely fits into the context of harrowing, and mm-hmm. it's got some gore to it. You know, meat grinder. Come on. Mm-hmm. But also, the audience can look at me and stand there and see that I have 10 fingers. So they're taken through a story where they kind of have an idea of how the ending is. And I find that so interesting that you can still do that mm-hmm. and tell people that, yet they are looking at you like, what's going to happen? And you're like, you know what the ending is. So I love breaking out that story. But sometimes people get too grossed out. Mm-hmm. So I always say, what's your temperature for blood? I don't want any fainters here at the bar.
Well, the other part of that story, which is interesting, and won't give it away because people will go see it, is the interpersonal dynamics among siblings. Because one of your siblings is supposed to help out. It's just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe I will. Yeah. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of six, so I had a lot of older siblings, and they all had big personalities. But yeah, I think being the youngest too, the way I touch a little bit on that, how you were treated in the family, whether you were spoiled or whether you were coddled or mm-hmm. whether you were teased. When you need some people to step up for you, did they? Do they? That's my question.
My guest is Ophira Eisenberg. The show is Leaving a Mark, a comedy about scars at Soho Playhouse. You can see it next weekend, the 9th through the 11th, and then the 16th and the 17th. Our phone lines are full, as you might bet you're not surprised. Let's take a few calls. Let's talk to Jen from Huntington. Hi, Jen. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on with Ophira.
Hi. Thank you. I definitely want to read your book as soon as possible. But I just wanted to share my own personal experience. When I was 15, I was lucky enough to be diagnosed with a non-benign tumor on my ovaries, and it was supposed to be laparoscopic. And then when I woke mm-hmm. up, I was like, wow, I'm in a lot of pain for something that's supposed to be laparoscopic. And it turns out they couldn't do it that way, so I had a 16-inch scar, like where your underwear line would be. And uh-huh. I just remember waking up and just being devastated at 15 because I was like, I haven't even started my life and I've got this terrible scar. Well, fast forward, I had the same surgery when I was 22, 3 C-sections and a back surgery that went through the front. And the long and the short of it is that I've come to really own my scars. And I think I'm really proud of them because I think of what they have given me and how lucky I am to have had access to medical care that allowed me to survive and live and thrive. And, you know, sometimes it does look a little Frankensteinish, I'm not going to lie, but it is, I feel gratitude when I see those scars, you know.
Yeah, Jen, thank you so much for calling in. Ophira, did you want to respond to Jen?
I mean, you know, I relate to how you were describing the look of them because many of my scars are from surgery, and they are, I see some of my friends with surgery scars. Mm-hmm. Who am I hanging out with? But yes, and they are very, so thin and so small, and mine are not like that, and just done a different time, different circumstances, different reasons. And I also know that feeling of waking up with something that is not as described in the pamphlet, as mm-hmm. you may say. And that is one of the things that I like talking about, these marks on the flesh, how they influence our identity and how they change over time, both our relationship to them and really how they look, because they don't go away, but they fade. And the color, you know, if they're red, they get closer to your skin color, but they never go away. And so how your sense of your body and your eyes treat them over time. And I'm sure at times you hated them, right? Mm-hmm. And they were wounds, and how they travel to being something that symbolizes healing.
Yeah. In your show, you have this very punk rock t-shirt, which it's got safety pins where the scars would be across your torso, and it's a fairly large part of your torso. What went into that decision? Did you ever think you might show people your scars, or did you just want to do the representation? Right. I had to ask.
So, So as I was sort of putting this show together and thinking about it, you know, I would talk about it with friends and other comedians, and they said, well, you're going to show the scars, right? And the big one, as I call it, the signature piece, is a large one on my torso. And, you know, I was like, no, I wasn't planning on doing that at all. That actually never crossed my mind to show my body, which I think is like a choice. I don't know if that's totally my choice. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot. I actually took this out of the show, but I think there's so much about women's torsos. Women's torso is actually one of the most commercially viable yet provocative places mm-hmm. to photograph women. And you do see a lot of headless torsos all throughout advertising because, you know, other parts would be maybe pornography, but the torso is like a probiotic ad. And I did not want also to kind of invite that kind of viewing. Honestly, I wanted to keep this in a different realm to see if I could. So I really like the 90s punk grunge look. I used to love, you know, when I wore those clothes, just it was very punk, you know, to have things with safety pins. And I find safety pins just an interesting, so symbolic, a safety pin in so many ways, holding things together, the temporary, the steel, all of it. And so I made this t-shirt. I just like had this idea rolling around where I made a t-shirt that outlines one of my scars. I traced it and then pinned it all up. And so that's where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. Will I change? I don't know.
Let's talk to Alex from Toms River, New Jersey. Hi, Alex.
Hello. It's good to talk to you again, Allison, and good to talk to you, Ophira.
Hello.
So I have a very silly story about a scar. I'll try to make it as quick as possible.
Okay.
So me and my friends, we are like funny guys. We like to laugh a lot. We're doing this little skit at my house, just me and my two buddies, where I was an elf waiter and they were tourists visiting a restaurant at the North Pole. And what happened was, I know. They started ordering. And so my friends were like, oh, I'll take the candy cane pasta and he will have the peppermint patty. And so I was walking away to go, quote unquote, put in their orders. And as I was walking away, my friend asked he goes, can we get an order of gumdrops for the table, like fries? And I lost it. I passed out for a second, and I woke up on the floor, and I had broken my ankle.
From laughing so hard, so, you fell over?
I know. No, seriously. It's like, it's ridiculous. It's so silly and so dumb how I broke my leg. But I am good now. It happened back in April. I'm good, and I have a scar that reminds me of a funny little moment in my life.
Alex, thank you for sharing your story. My guest is Ophira Eisenberg. The show is called Leaving a Mark, a comedy about scars at Soho Playhouse next weekend and the following. We'll take more of your scar stories and hear more about the show after a quick break. This is All of It. You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest this hour is Ophira Eisenberg. Her new show is called Leaving a Mark, a comedy about scars. It's at Soho Playhouse, February 9th through the 11th and February 16th through 17th. So in your show, there's a moment when you ask your audience for scar stories. Yeah. First of all, what kind of answers have you gotten? What kind of scars have showed up?
Yeah, so this is the debut of the show, so I'm still gathering this data, but I did before we shut down in, I guess I did it a couple times in 2019 and in a couple spaces, and I get, you know, first of all, someone's like, what happens if no one ever raises their hand to participate? So far, that has not been a problem. And I also find that I do this because no one ever asks people about their scars. There is something about that. Even, you know, they ask you how you're doing, if you survived this, blah, blah, blah. But no one's ever like, let me see that scar. Tell me about it. And there have been childhood, you know, just drama, stepping on a nail in a playground, or maybe a falling, like someone was climbing over a fence, like a chain link fence, because they weren't supposed to be somewhere and their mom was coming home and they were trying to run home on time. Someone else told me about being in the rodeo. They were basically a rodeo star, and one day they got bucked off and that went wrong. Someone told me about being attacked by an insect that they didn't know about when they were doing some field work in South America. And basically, like, this is the mm-hmm. horror story that everyone thinks oh. about. Sounds so exotic. But, you know, having an insect lay eggs in the back of their spine that they later had to get removed wow. medically. People surviving fires, a lot of surgeries, a lot of different surgeries, and a lot of stuff actually to do with legs and hips from people doing all kinds of athletics and stunts. So what I am finding, though, is, you know, it's the same thing I was talking about with the meat grinder. There's like a spoiler alert thing to someone telling a scar story, which is great because it's very positive. They're there. Mm-hmm. They're there to tell the story. And even when it happened, if it was devastating, harrowing, or just hard in any way, where they are now telling that story, it is coming from a place of like, that happened. And I feel like everyone tells it with a sense of pride. And I love that. I mm-hmm. love hearing that. And yeah, and everyone's been through something. It's just to remind us that we've all been through stuff, and never look at anyone and think they haven't been through anything.
Let's talk to Elizabeth from Manhattan. Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Tell us your story.
All right. So the major scar that I was calling in about is from a taxi accident on Park Avenue just after seeing Blue Velvet. So I'm a bit older than all of you. And I ended up in the hospital, almost lost my eye, but had brain surgeons. But then I had this major scar, which is exactly, and I was a fencer, where the Heidelberg dueling scar is. And this happened to be at the time in 1986, when Marla Hansen, the model, and I had modeled earlier because I'd gone to Spence and knew the Fords before Harvard and all that, blah, blah. And so everywhere I went, everyone thought I was Marla Hansen. And people come up and say, oh, I'm so sorry you were slashed. And people would drag me away. And I said, but I wasn't slashed. I had a taxi accident. And this went on for a few years. But my scar's gone down. But why I wanted to bring this all up is I'm an art historian and a poet. And I've lived all over the world. I'm an Asian art historian. Mm-hmm. And I've worked on cultures where people did scarification, where scars happen all the time. And I've had cancer and all that mm-hmm. recently. Anyhow,
oh, gosh.
But the point is, I've worked a lot on this issue of having a scar that's visible versus scars that are not visible, right?
Yeah.
And when mm-hmm. you're a female who used to be sort of perfect, right? I mean, I'm not talking about white or all that, but, you know, like perfect skin and all this and no acne or anything, and then suddenly you have this scar, right? And I did have people in Europe and here and around the world at points come up to me in art things and say, how did you get that scar?
It's really interesting. I'm going to dive in here for a second, Elizabeth, because you're bringing up a lot of interesting points, and I want Ophira to talk a little bit about it, about this idea. It made me think of this moment in your show, Ophira, when you talk about the Japanese art of pottery
kintsugi.
Back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you explain that and how you weave that in the show? It's really beautiful.
Yeah. And first of all, I have to say to our caller, your life sounds very full. So many things you just threw out there. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine told me, and then I researched this Japanese ceramic art of kintsugi, where basically if a vessel is broken, a ceramic vessel, it is put back together with a resin that is gold. It's glued together with gold. Mm-hmm. So all the seams are highlighted, like accentuated, because the idea is showing off the flaws, the cracks, the fractures makes the vessel more beautiful. It shows that it has a story mm-hmm. and a history. And that's what we should be looking at and revering and admiring, which I love. And I also talk about how life would be wonderful if I looked that way at my body. And it's not that I'm not in a place of acceptance, but, I'm not at the place of gold seams. That would be great, though, if we all just walked around like kintsugi vases. Just all of our scars are just beautiful gold seams. I guess that's the goal.
Will has tweeted to us, I have a scar on my chin from my attempt to shave myself at 2 years old.
Oh,
that's a visual.
That is so cute. Two. And again, can I just say that's someone who I do not know the age of that person, but let's just have a moment of that person got their, a 2-year-old got their hands on a razor. I don't know if that's 70s, but sounds, I got my hands on a pair of scissors. So there you go.
Nick is calling in from, I think it's Byram, New Jersey. Hi, Nick.
Hey there.
You're on the air.
Well, let me just jump right in. Growing up in the 70s, we were blessed with these Christmas time Rankin Bass stop motion puppet shows with Rudolph and all of them. And I was a particular fan of the Drummer Boy, and we learned, oh, they're doing a Drummer Boy one. So there I am, very excited about that. I decided to take a quick previewing visit to our half bath bathroom downstairs, and I am dancing away, Drummer Boy, pa-rumpa pum pum, wearing socks in a rugless, freshly mopped half bath.
Oh boy.
So my little dance suddenly lost all friction, and I just flipped and smashed my head against the side of the toilet. And after the initial shock wore off, I have a vivid memory of standing up and looking in the mirror behind the sink, and I looked like Carrie from that Stephen King movie, just covered with blood.
Oh,
my parents were all freaked out because I had just painted the wallpaper in there. Cut forward to the next day. It turned out not to be that. It was just 12 stitches, and I was the coolest kid in, I don't know, first or second grade. Everyone's like, whoa! Looked like I had a little fence up there with black stitches. And the scar there, I basically don't really see it much, but if I go to the beach or go diving or something and you get all that heat on it and the sun, then that little bit of white comes through and I can see it.
Thank you for sharing your story, Nick. So it's so interesting because the idea of scar cred, that I think little...
Scar cred.
Yeah. In this, I did want to touch on this one thing before we run out of time is that there's also this idea in the show about emotional scars. It's subtle, but it's there. What did you want to investigate about the scars that we don't see?
Well, you know, those are the ones that are, they are harder to heal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may look at a scar as, I think we've been discussing, you know, even with the colors that just came in this moment, that people are looking at these scars as quite finite. You know, it's over. But the stuff that lives within us is much more complicated. And that stuff endures and it changes. And, you know, that is a complicated relationship with that you have to, you know, contend with. I think the ones on your body in some ways over time can easily be seen as your warrior status.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones inside are the ones those are the ones that you want to get to warrior status.
Can I tell you about my scars?
Yes. Oh my goodness. I was going to ask you right at the top, but I'm so happy.
So I have three scars, two giant ones, almost from the back of my knee to my ankle on my left leg from when I was 5 years old. And it's funny because sometimes people would say, hey, you have a run in your stockings. I'm like, no, I have a run on my leg is what I have. Because it is that wide and that bumpy from a really bad game of crack the whip where I went under the fence, the barbed wire fence, and the two lines went down my leg. They attempted to patch me up at Mountainside Hospital in New Jersey. Another kid in that game had a dislocated shoulder. It was quite a game of crack the whip. But that is one of those where
I hope you both won.
We both lost. We both definitely lost.
Okay.
In that game. But, you know, sometimes I forget about them until somebody brings it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I just forget. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're still there. I've forgotten about you.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
That is what I say. That's the grand trick of how we look at ourselves and our body. I mean, those are on the back of your legs, so maybe you're not staring at that every day.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm sure that it is in your field of vision at some point when you're looking at yourself or the way your legs are crossed, even on a chair. And they just become part of us. We really forget about them sometimes. Have you ever purposely worn a pair of tights that have a seam on it?
So you just add another one down there?
Yeah, exactly.
Just keep going with it. Everybody, the show is called Leaving a Mark, a comedy about scars. It is Soho Playhouse next weekend, the 9th through the 11th and the 16th through the 17th. It is Ophira Eisenberg's show. We didn't even get to talk about your podcast. We'll have you back on to talk about it because it's really good. Parenting's a Joke is the name of it. Ophira, thank you for taking our listeners' calls.
Oh, my pleasure. And so, so great to talk to you. Thank you, Allison.
And that is all of it for today. I'm Allison Stewart. I appreciate you and I appreciate your listening, and I will meet you back here next time.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.